Basic Brewing Radio is sponsored in part by the American Homebrewers Association. Give or receive an American Homebrewers Association membership by December 31st and select a free brewing book of your choice. This holiday season, purchase a one-year membership and choose from 60 different beer and brewing books to meet your goals. Visit homebrewersassociation.org/basicbrewing for offer details. Hurry, this offer ends December 31st. homebrewersassociation.org/basicbrewing. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, December 7th, 2023. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Steve Wilkes and I visit with Court Castleberry, someone we've known for a long time, who is now the head brewer of both New Province Brewing and the new Fayetteville, Arkansas location of Flyway Brewing. We'll sample Flyway beers with Court at Flyway's very busy new space. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And many thanks to everybody who was helping out in that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Financial supporters this week will see an early release of the video Steve and I shot about the smoked Rot beer that Chris Colby of Beer and Gardening Journal and I formulated on this show. That was just a small batch, but I liked it. That cherry smoked malt is really appropriate for this time of year. Financial supporters will also get the recipe and a behind-the-scenes video of how the beer came together on the stovetop. Steve and I are planning to get together this week to shoot the special video that we're making for financial supporters and participants in the annual Disaster Show. If you haven't sent in your disaster show story, please do so we can read it on this year's edition. Send your stories of brewing gone wrong to james@basicbrewing.com by December 15th so we can collect them and read them. I dug up the video from the original Basic Brewing Introduction to Extract Homebrewing DVD, and if I can work out the technical details, we're planning to watch that video from almost two decades ago and do a DVD commentary. I watched that video yesterday, and it holds up pretty well, really. There are a few things that are kind of out of date and maybe incorrect, but I think if you watch that video and follow our advice, you'll still do just fine. You'll make a good extract beer. Some things, of course, have changed, though, and I'm sure that we'll get into that as we watch it. I'm planning to release that video to financial supporters and disaster show participants by the end of the year, and I'll post it for the general public in about 6 or 7 months or so, maybe in time for our anniversary. I got so many audio episodes lined up and on the board. We just need to schedule them and get them done. Lots of fun things coming down the road. Planning to get together next week with Chris Colby to sample the pre-Prohibition American lager that we formulated and that I brewed. And we're planning to have a special guest on that show to give us some historical context on classic American Pilsners and to help us to design our next style. No spoilers, but it's going to be another dark beer. we're really into the dark beers, apparently. I'm planning to ferment that mystery dark beer with A10 Darkness from our friends and sponsors at Imperial Yeast. Eben is sending me a pouch of Darkness along with a couple pouches of L25 Hygge, which is the featured seasonal yeast from Imperial this season. Hygge is Danish in origin and is generally considered to be Carlsberg. It's famously used in Pilsner-style beers and complements significant hop additions, but Eben from Imperial says it's very versatile. He knows of brewers brewing Baltic porters with it, for instance. And Steve brewed an IPA with Hygge for an oak aging experiment last year that you can see on the YouTube and the video podcast feed. You can see that video episode. So maybe I'll make a lager with one pouch and something unexpected with the other. Well, whatever I brew, I'm sure those 200 billion cells in each easy-to-open package of Imperial yeast will do the job well. My stir plate is usually dusty, because I don't use it anymore to make starters for moderate gravity 5-gallon ale batches. Ask your local homebrew store to get you some L25 Hygge and check out all the dependable deliciousness at imperialyeast.com. That's imperialyeast.com. Okay, This conversation is sort of a twofer. For several years, our friend Court Castleberry has been head brewer of New Province Brewing in Rogers, Arkansas. Now, because of reasons we'll explain, he's also the head brewer at the Fayetteville location of Flyway Brewing of North Little Rock. Steve and I sat with Court on the porch to talk about the fun new developments and sample some delicious beers. Well, Court Castleberry, welcome. I'm going to say welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
And Steve Wilkes, welcome back.
Thanks, James.
I say welcome back because I've known you forever, and we'll go over your history of your career. But I was trying to remember, have you actually been on the show? Has your voice actually been on the show? And I couldn't remember a specific time. If that's the case, if you hadn't been on the show, I'm embarrassed and I apologize, but welcome anyway.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I know we've run into each other many times over the years, and you've done some interviews at both of the previous breweries that I've been involved with. So, I'm not sure if I've ever made it on or not, but here we are.
You've avoided me so far. Well, your luck has run out. Here we are. We're sitting on the front patio here, the front porch of Flyway Brewing in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And we're sitting out here because it's dang busy inside. It's just incredibly full of people. So what... And you guys had kind of a soft opening, so there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare. So has it been this busy the whole time?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a really great reception from Fayetteville. A lot of people have shown up in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, it's the very beginning. We expect a big crowd, and at some point it'll level out. But, yeah, it's been a great reception so far.
Yeah, you've redone the inside, or y'all have redone I assume you haven't done it, but y'all have redone the inside. Before, when it was Apple Blossom, it was kind of a dark wood English. How would you describe the old place, Steve?
Mid-80s, just dark wood paneling, an English, German, just that kind of almost a European feel, like a pub feel, actually. But after a while, I always felt it was kind of closed-in feeling, so I really liked the openness of the new digs.
Yeah, that old darker wood has been taken out, replaced by murals of ducks flying overhead, and it kind of opens up the place, makes it brighter, and it kind of fits in with, I guess, the philosophy of Flyway, right, in that kind of going out to the outdoors of Arkansas.
Yeah, absolutely. Brings the outdoors to indoors. Like I said, took out that old dark wood, repainted the ceiling to where it's a sky color. And kind of being on the corner here, you have a lot of light that comes in. And so just really opened it up, makes it feel kind of on brand for Flyway.
Now, before we get into you're a very, very busy man, so I really appreciate your taking time out to talk to us. But before we go into your current responsibilities, let's kind of catch up and remind us of, when we met and how we met and what you were doing back then, and kind of catch us up to your career up until now.
Yeah, I mean, I think we first met years ago when I was at Fossil Cove. I was the assistant brewer there, and I think you came in to do an interview there. We're also friends, mutual friends with Andy Sparks, really great dude. Brewed there for 2 years and then got the opportunity to be the head brewer at New Province up in Rogers. That's where I've been for the past 7.5 years, I guess, making a bunch of hopefully good beer up there.
And now, this is kind of a soap opera of beer here. Because let me see if I get this straight. Matt Foster, former English teacher, started homebrewing and then started Flyway Brewing in Little Rock on a Sabco half barrel system. That was in 2012. In 2015, moved to a larger facility in North Little Rock. That's where they are now in right. North Little Rock. Then John Lee, who we talked to at Rebel Kettle in 2009, is now part owner of New Province with the wife, Heather Parker Foster, of Matt Foster. Is that right? Have I got all the family tree right?
That's basically correct. Yeah, the original owner of New Province, Derek McEnroe, sold the business about a year and a half ago to a group of investors. One of those is Heather Parker Foster, who is the wife of Matt Foster, the owner of Flyway. So the two brands are interconnected now, and we've kind of had a partnership over the last year and a half, to where the two brands are kind of working together to help each other succeed.
And you're the head brewer of this Northwest Arkansas location of Flyway and still of New Province?
Yeah. So serving as head brewer of both and more trying to build teams at each location and depend on other people to get things done.
Because you can't do it all.
Oh, absolutely not.
So what does the partnership bring to both entities?
It's a lot of resource optimization, you know, specifically, you know, one thing is our grain supplier is allowing us to bundle together everything that we're buying from each location. And so that gets us to a different price tier, saves us some money there. We're also exploring ways to utilize, I mean, just like myself, you know, splitting labor, you know, and just kind of being able to fill in voids more effectively with the labor that we have.
And as I understand it, is New Province going to take over some of the canning and production of Flyway up there?
Yeah, so for about the past year or so, we've been contract brewing some of Flyway's beers. Obviously, we're an established brewery and have our own beer to make at New Province. But any extra space that we've had, we've been utilizing to produce and can beer for Flyway. They've actually been contract brewing a lot of their canned beer outside the state for the last couple of years, and they really want to bring that production back into the state. And so we've kind of helped ease that in. We've done Honeybird, Early Bird, and Peregrine for them for about the last year. And New Province is currently undergoing an expansion to basically double our capacity. It's actually a little over doubling. And the big thing with that is to bring Blue Wing production back into the state. That's Flyway's biggest selling beer, and we'd love to have that made inside the state.
And as I remember, when I was there up in 2016, there was a lot of room in the building at New Province, so it sounds like you're optimizing that.
Oh, yeah. There's not nearly as much space left there now. We actually bought several of the tanks that JJ's Brewing here in Fayetteville had. Four 45-barrel fermenters and a 45-barrel bright tank. So we've got all that. We bought their old glycol chiller. So, yeah, ready to ramp it up and get more of those beers made here.
More toys for Court. I'll probably call you Kurt at some point. if I do, kick me under the table. Okay, speaking of Blue Wing, you've got us a flight of beers here, and the first one is Blue Wing. Talk about this beer.
Yeah, so I get you a flight of beers here. Two of them are year-round regulars from Flyway, and the other two are beers that are specific to this location right now. Blue Wing is a blueberry wheat beer. It is the... from what I understand, it's the best-selling craft beer in Arkansas for, like, the past 8 years or so.
Wow.
So people really love it. It's just really light and crisp. Has that blueberry flavor to it, obviously.
What do you think, Steve?
It's a nice example of the beer. I've never had it before.
Really?
So, wow. Yeah.
It's flown under our radar.
It definitely has.
Or above, maybe above our radar.
So it's a wheat beer, but that could mean a lot of things. How is it a German wheat beer? Is it a Hefeweizen? Is it filtered? Is it, you know, in other words, there's different flavors of wheat beer. I don't get a whole lot of yeast character out of this, so I think it's pretty clean. Well, it is clean, but I mean it's not yeasty, you know. And the blueberry is very subtle, it's very nice. So I am curious about how you get the blueberries into it. That's always a thing that homebrewers want to know. How did you make it taste like this?
Yeah, so this isn't your recipe, obviously, but talk about it.
No, yeah, a lot of these recipes are the original Flyway recipes that I'm just reproducing. This one in particular, it's about one-third wheat and two-thirds barley. Uses an American yeast strain, so you're spot on with the, you know, very minimal yeast character to it. As far as the blueberry, we use a combination of blueberry puree and then supplement it with a little bit of extract.
It's a nice blueberry flavor.
Yeah.
You're right, it's subtle. It's not like energy drink or, you know, hard seltzer level of, you know, fruit.
It's obviously there, but it's not over the top.
Right.
It still keeps it kind of easy drinking.
Yeah, I keep wanting to go back to it.
Well, it keeps it from being a novelty beer, which is a, I don't want to say it's a complaint that I have, but I've had many, many fruit beers over the years, or chili beers, or you name it. And, boy, one pint, you're like, wow, that's really good, but I don't want any more. Because you've had the novelty, you've had the joke, or what, you know, the skit. But this is a beer that you could keep in the fridge all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds like a lot of people do.
Yeah, I think Susan would like, well, I like it, but yeah. I think this is one that Susan would like as well. Where do you add the fruit? How do you, you know, remember you're talking to homebrewers, how do you add the fruit?
So the blueberry puree we add a few days into fermentation, basically mid-fermentation. We want the sugars in that to ferment out so that we don't have any, you know, problems on the back end with unfermented sugars.
Nobody wants problems on the back end.
No. and then when we round out the flavor with the extract, we do that directly in the bright tank as we're transferring.
So do you have any issues with, like when I brewed with fruit puree, and it's hard for me to say, I've only had half of a sample, so I can still say fruit puree and quart. But of course, I was using it in the keg, you know, at serving time, which is it's an issue. It's gloppy. It's, you know, but it goes away after the first pint or two, that problem. So is
all problems go away after the first pint or two.
That's right.
Then they come back after. but do you know, depending on your system, do you have to do anything special to the beer to, you know, mitigate any issues?
No, I mean, at least on the scale that we're working with, it works pretty well. You know, we cold crash beers for about a week before we transfer them from the fermenter to the bright, and that fruit puree, you know, settles out kind of with the yeast. I mean, it's just a little extra mass in the fermenter.
And you mentioned novelty beers or beers that are kind of like off the beaten path. I remember talking to John Lee back at Rebel Kettle, and he was brewing some really fun beers, some like pastry beers, and, you know, some really, actually, I remember liking them quite a bit. You know, I tend to kind of turn my nose up at the concept of some of these, you know, extreme beers, but then I taste them and I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. So has he had any influence up at New Province? Are you guys doing anything kind of more off the beaten path or kind of, you know, off the wall up there?
Absolutely. I think the New Province brand compared to the Flyway brand is a little more creative, a little more innovative. And he's definitely added to that. We've been doing a lot more hazy IPAs recently, and he's a big part of that. We've got a big imperial pastry stout in the fermenter right now. So, yeah, staying on brand with New Province and John Lee at the same time.
I imagine you got to say you welcome it, but is it was that a challenge to you in the beginning? Did you have any resistance as far as either the challenges of actually brewing the beer, or were you skeptical of going into that direction at first?
No, not at all. I mean, I think I naturally tend towards that direction too. You know, it's you you just kind of have to tamper yourself to market demands, you know, at some point. And so, you know, I think I've been a little more reserved in recent years in beers that I've made, just because I want to know that they sell. And so he's kind of brought in that attitude of like, no, let's go for it. You know, let's push the boundaries. And so that's been really refreshing, and I really appreciate it.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Or a quick way to go broke.
We'll cut that out.
No, actually, it does sound like fun. It gets back to homebrewing. It gets back to that kind of that fun of
absolutely.
Of being a homebrewer again. It's like, what have I got in the closet? Oh, I got some of that. And you invent something, and you're like, oh, I like that.
Well, we talked to Jamie up at Social Project, and, you know, they're doing a lot of really fun stuff up there, too.
Yeah, yeah, they are. They're probably on the forefront in the area. It's nice for them having a smaller system, selling basically, you know, a majority of it through the tap room. Kind of allows them to do some more experimental things. On our scale, you know, we make X volume of it, and we have to sell X volume of it, and you know, that can be complicated sometimes. And that's also like a benefit to the Flyway tap room here in Fayetteville, is it's a smaller system. So once we get ramped up and we're able to fully supply ourselves with the beers that we sell, you know, 50 pints a day of, then we'll be able to experiment and do some really cool things that are specific to this location.
Excellent. Our friends Desiree and Dave of HighGravityBrew.com are having a sale on money. Every year about this time, Desiree and Dave offer High Gravity gift certificates for 10% off. So you, or Santa, can buy gift certificates of $10, $25, $50, $100, $500, or even $1,000. And a 10% discount will be applied at checkout. Why the $1,000 denomination? Well, Desiree says one customer last year bought enough gift certificates to get himself a Warthog electric brewing system and to save 10%. So they wanted to make it easier for people to do that this year. Whether you shop at highgravitybrew.com for electric gear or for ingredients using the Build Your Own Beer page or for excellent beer or wine kits, buy yourself a gift certificate and save 10%. Or tell Santa about it. This deal is for a limited time, so ho, ho, hurry on over to family-owned and operated highgravitybrew.com and check it out. And get your 10% discount on gift certificates at family-owned and operated highgravitybrew.com. That's highgravitybrew.com. Second on the lineup is the Honeybird.
Yeah, so that's another established Flyway beer. It is a honey blonde ale. Kind of double down on the honey by including honey malt with actual honey. Still really light, crisp, easy drinking. Been one of our top sellers so far.
What do you think, Steve?
It's a great beer, and you're right. The honey comes through very nicely. Just a nice, crisp, blonde or light pale ale. It's a really good beer, a very drinkable beer. Personally, I like it better than the Blue Wing, but that's just my taste in beer. So it's not a knock on the Blue Wing at all, but I really quite like this beer a lot. I could definitely keep this in the fridge.
It doesn't have any Belgian yeast character, I don't think, but it reminds me of, I don't know what, and again, I don't know what the ABV is on it either, but it's kind of a tamer triple, almost. It's that character. Do you get that kind of like a, which I like a lot.
I absolutely get that. And in fact, I was thinking about that New Belgium. I don't know what they call it, but it's their triple.
It's called a triple.
Well, yeah, but don't they have? But isn't there a honey? I mean, it's got another.
Oh yeah, I think they've got a variant of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah, and it, well, anyway, I just had a six pack of it a couple of months ago, and it was like, I love this beer. This did remind me of that, like a little brother of it.
Yeah. So what is the ABV? Talk about this recipe.
It's pretty basic. It's a lot of brewer's malt. There's a little bit of Munich honey malt, and then actual honey.
Local honey? Are we getting fancy with the honey?
Yeah, so actually, Philip and I were talking about that recently. Philip is the operating partner here at Flyway Fayetteville. And I talked to Tim Berkeley, who's the head brewer down in Little Rock, and asked him where they were sourcing their honey. And he said that actually the farmer that gets their spent grain has beehives, and that he was getting honey from that guy. And so I kind of thought it was very cool to get local honey. And so talked to Philip, and we've located a local honey farmer. I'm not sure what you call him.
A beekeeper?
Yeah.
That's probably a fancier name than I can.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think we've sourced that. So this very first batch of Honeybird that we have here probably won't include local honey, but it's my hope that everyone after here includes Northwest Arkansas local honey.
Well, I also know a beekeeper out in Prairie Grove, which we featured on the video podcast, and we've brewed with his honey. So, you know, if you want his contact information, or I can give him your contact information or whatever, we'll get you connected. He's a good guy. He's one of these guys that like goes and like rips open the walls of people's houses and gets the hives out. And, you know, he's a young guy. And so, you know, he can do things like that. And, but he's very industrious and makes just dang good honey. So, what are your goals as far as the kinds of beers, special beers that you want to bring here in this location?
I think we're gonna kind of fill it out, and obviously, you know, we've got the Flyway year-round beers, and we're gonna try to fill in gaps, you know, and do that kind of seasonally. We've got a couple of beers that we're playing around with being, you know, year-round beers exclusive to this location. That's going to be the next two beers that you've tried here. One of them is a hazy pale ale, which everybody knows hazy IPAs are all the rage right now, but hazy pale ale is kind of a new sub variant of that, where it's a little dialed back in ABV, dialed back in flavor intensity. You know, it's just supposed to be a little more drinkable version of a hazy IPA.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah, it's got all that. I don't know if that's Mosaic or not.
But it's Citra and Strata.
Well, Citra was my next one out of my mouth, but it's definitely got that New World kind of juicy fruit thing going. So yeah, it's good.
And it's definitely more juicy than, you know, sort of bitter and dank. And I think the bitterness has a really good balance. Where you don't want it too sweet with the fruitiness. You want a nice solid bitterness in the background to help kind of clear the palate, but you don't want it to be super bitter, you know. And I think if you had told me that this was an IPA level of alcohol, I might have believed you, because it doesn't taste like a smaller beer.
Yeah, it's 5% alcohol. I think it's somewhere, you know, low 20s in IBUs, but you know, kind of manipulate some things through the process to you know, make it seem like a bigger beer.
So spill your secrets that you can give the homebrewers out there the tips on how they can get something this juicy. And it looks like orange juice. I mean, it's just, you know, it's, I don't know what you would call it, cloudy or hazy, but it's delicious.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we use some oats and wheat in the grain bill. Being a lower ABV beer, kind of to make it seem like it's a little heavier than it is, also added some, what do they call it, blonde roast oat malt.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a roasted oat malt, and then a little bit of honey malt as well. Just kind of helps, like, kind of give some backbone to it for a small beer. And that also adds, you know, obviously to the haze, New England yeast, and then dry hop it heavily. another little secret is adding a little citric acid to it. That helps with the haze, and I think it also helps kind of, like, plump up the fruity flavors in it.
Interesting. So are there... hops in the on the hot side as well?
Yeah, there's some hops on the hot side, but it's very minimal. It's just whirlpool hops, enough to get, you know, the bitterness that we want. But the big part of it, I think this beer is roughly 3 pounds per barrel dry hop. So that's where you're getting all the hop flavor and aroma.
Wow. It's another beer that, you know, it breaks all the rules of, you know, when we first got into home brewing. It's like you've got to add bittering hops at 60. You've got to boil for 60 minutes. You've got to add your bittering hops at 60 minutes. And then the flavoring hops go here and da 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 da. And so this is another beer that adds the hops in the wrong place, quote unquote, wrong place.
Yeah, I mean, you're just loading up on the flavor and aroma additions. You know, I think taste and preferences have changed over the last few years, and where 8 years ago everybody was seeking out your 100 plus IBU IPAs, it's the opposite now. You know, the pendulum has swung, and everybody wants those IPAs that are loaded with that flavor and aroma, but easy to drink, low bitterness.
So how long is the boil on this?
We do a 60-minute boil on these. Yeah, I mean, standard for most of our beers, do a 60-minute.
And why is that?
Because that's what you're supposed to do.
See, so it's not completely non-traditional. I just wonder, you know, what, especially with extract beers, you know, you only have to boil for just, or not even boil at all. And we've done some short, and the Brewlosophy guys have done, you know, experiments with short boil times as well. But I can understand your caution in being a commercial brewery. It's like, you know, what if we only boiled for 30 minutes? What would happen? You know, there's a lot riding on that.
No, well, and yeah, I mean, yeah, you definitely don't want to screw up a batch of beer. So you kind of stick to the conventional wisdoms that you know work. But also a part of it is, you know, just during the process, you know, sometimes I need an hour to clean out the mash tun and everything and get back to the boil. You know, it's kind of where my attention can be. So, yeah, know, it's a combination of factors.
That's true. When we were texting yesterday, or was it yesterday? Anyway, I was doing a hop sampler where I brewed basically 3 six-packs of beer, all of them extract, none of them boiled, just bringing the wort up to boil, shutting off the heat, putting in hops, and letting it steep for 10 minutes. And you don't have time to you don't have time to sit down. You don't have time to clean the next thing, or, you know. So, yeah, there is something to be said for making your day easier.
Yeah. Sometimes I need lunch.
So what's the last on our lineup? This is the Cardinal.
Yeah, so this last one is what we're calling Cardinal Kolsch. It's a German-style Kolsch with raspberry and hibiscus. It's a beer that I'm hoping that it'll be a flagship of specifically this Fayetteville Flyway location. I think it ties into the brand, obviously, with the Cardinal Bird. But then it also brings in, you know, the Fayetteville connection with the Razorbacks and Cardinal and White. So I just, when I was coming up with it, I thought it was the perfect brand to introduce Flyway to Northwest Arkansas. And I think it's, I mean, it's at its base, it's a traditional German Kolsch. And then I probably make a lot of German brewers roll over in their graves by adding raspberry and hibiscus to it. But I think it really works.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you nailed it.
Well, I'm close. I didn't get the raspberry, but I do now. But I picked up the hibiscus as soon as, in fact, when I looked at it, I went, it's either a cherry beer or a hibiscus beer. When I tasted it, that's a hibiscus beer. But the raspberry makes it more complicated. The raspberry brings a tartness in that the hibiscus does not. Hibiscus can overwhelm a beer, boom, and kill it, in my opinion, like lavender can. It's just like, whoa. But this is very well balanced and really brings both of those flavors marry very well. And then using a Kolsch as your base beer is just kind of a no-brainer. It's a perfect vehicle to carry fruit.
Yeah, all these beers are extremely drinkable. And this one is very well fermented, very well done. It's almost a tart beer. I mean, there's that the berries bring, this level of tartness that is it's not, I wouldn't call it a sour beer, but it's almost a tart beer.
Well, I it's kind of a tart, kind of a fallen angel. Yeah, floozy.
So is that what you were? Did you hit your target?
Yeah, I think so. I'd maybe like the color to be a little deeper red than it is, but flavor profile, I think it's great. It's been really well received. Our distributor is already asking, like, how can we get this? We can move this. But yeah, I think it's good. The Kolsch profile kind of gives you some of those fruity profile flavors to as a base, and then yeah, the raspberry and hibiscus on top of it just I think layer perfectly.
It reminds me a little bit of the Nuclearis tart cherry pie. Oh. Now without the breadiness, it doesn't have all the big cracker breadiness going on, but. Right. Right. But the flavor profile, it does remind me of those Nuclearis products.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Belgian Red, I think, is their cherry beer. And then there's the Raspberry Tart, I think, is the. It's been too long since I've had those beers. But yeah, it's along
it's
those same.
Yeah,
you've got to go to Wisconsin. but yeah, I think it's that's a nice compliment, and I agree. The level of fruitiness. Is really nice, and I've got a friend in town who likes tart fruit beers, and I'm going to have to recommend this beer to him, and I think that he would like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fruit flavor is definitely there, but it's not over the top, keeps it drinkable. It's been one of our better sellers so far.
Where do you get hibiscus?
Amazon.
Really?
Yeah. When you're buying it in bulk, there's only so many options, and Amazon's the cheapest.
What was your question? See, you had a real question.
Oh, I did, but now I forgot what it is because I'm old and I've been drinking.
Oh, well, any other questions? We've taken a half an hour away. He's still not done with his brew day, and here he is sitting out here with us.
Well, I'd like to circle back to the little discussion about IPA, bittering in beers and how the culture has changed them. That's very interesting to me, having kind of been in the beer business one way or another since about 1994 or five. I've seen it go from Killian's Red was the most exotic thing you could get anywhere ever, or Löwenbräu that was 9 years old, to what we have today. And so that IBU bell curve has just really astounding to me how much our tastes societally seem to have changed.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we see that. I mean, obviously, we're kind of new here, but a bit new province. That's been a big thing, and a lot of our beers that we've produced for years now, we're even starting to dial down the bitterness on that because we just see that's what people want now.
I want to give you an opportunity to brag on Northwest Arkansas brewers because you just went to Colorado, the home of many great breweries, and you got to visit with Gary Glass, yes. Our friend at Left Hand. That's an awesome brewery. So how did Northwest Arkansas stack up against Colorado?
A lot better than the Chiefs did. I just want to point that out.
That's why you went.
Yeah, I went to see the Chiefs and Broncos, and it didn't go well for me as a Chiefs fan. However, the beer is good. The beer is good in Longmont, Colorado. We toured maybe five or six breweries over the 2 days. But I will say this. I didn't have any beer there that I haven't had as good a beer here. Mm. So, I mean, the only beer that everybody would know about is Left Hand Stout, which pretty much everybody knows about that. Great beer. Had a pint. Loved it. I don't know anybody brewing a Left Hand Stout. But, the Cream Stout at Ozark, just as good a beer. It's just a little different, but just as good a beer. And I would say, on balance, and I do mean this sincerely, I think that our beer community in Northwest Arkansas is as strong and vibrant and creative as anything I have run across in all of my travels, but then I would say more narrowly in the Denver area. So there's that. But I'll tell you what, one thing that they did have over us right now is we also did a distillery tour.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. And that's a thing coming.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's on its way.
It's on its way.
You can get one of those up in Rogers, Fox Trail.
Yeah. Are they good?
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while, but yeah, they're rocking it out up there. We've gotten some barrels from them at New Province, and we did, I think it was just one beer that we did with some of their barrels, but it was a really cool beer.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to add another. Actually, a real question for Court is,
as opposed to the ones I've been asking.
Well, as opposed to just a comment. How does your brain have to function going from New Province with those grain bills and those hopping schedules and that brewing philosophy coming over here? I mean, I would just be like a mental wreck trying to keep that straight.
And you already are.
And I already am.
Yeah, and I already am. We're working on getting a good team at both locations to be able to execute both of those things and me just kind of manage both of those teams. Obviously, with brewing, a lot of the principles are the same wherever you're working. It's just how you execute them. Trying to dial that in, get some people in place that can do the things that need to be done.
Your title needs to be executive brewer. Seriously, because you're managing more than one location, and you're the head brewer at so you need to have a head brewer at both. But you're the executive brewer.
We'll have another couple of beers and then call your HR department.
Yes. Yeah, that's somebody else's job to assign titles.
We're playing Moneyball here.
We'll be your agent. You don't want that.
No, you don't want that.
Well, Court, this has been a blast, and I only called you Kurt once. It's because I saw my friend Kurt today. But you're doing awesome work, and I'm so happy to see you again.
Yeah.
But then so happy to see you thriving and growing in responsibility and growing in talent, and it just seems like everything's going good.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw you at Fossil Cove, I was assistant brewer, just slinging bags of grain, and you know, here we are 10 years later. So, appreciate you guys coming out and checking out the new location and doing this interview.
We'll look forward to the future. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, James.
Thanks, Court.
Thank you.
So glad Court is doing so well. Thanks again to him and Steve for getting together. A few nights later, Steve and Gretchen, Desiree and Dave, and Susan and I had supper at Flyway and had a great time. The triple there is way good, by the way. Don't forget to send me your brewing disaster story before December 15th. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com, or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. It's all until next time. Till then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned. So long.